The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are with us, no matter what the trials and tribulations of this life might bring. We ask that your Spirit would go before and behind us and travel with us always, helping to turn our eyes and our hearts always toward you. Amen. Please be seated. Estranged by distance, he relearns the way to quiet, not his own. The light at rest on tree and stone, the high leaves falling in their turns. Spiraling through the air made gold by their slow fall. Bright on the ground they wait, their darkening commending to the light they hold. His own long come down from the air, complete, safe, home against absence, withdrawing from him tense by tense in the presence of the resting year. Blessing. And blessed in this result of times not blessed, now he is risen. He walks in quiet beyond division, the end of his own tumult. This short poem is one of many written by poet, farmer, and agrarian theologian Wendell Berry, who since 1979 has had a practice of writing Sabbath poems composed during his Sunday walking meditations through the woods and farmland surrounding his Kentucky home. These Sabbath poems have been published over the decades and tell a consistent story of Berry's experience of healing and rest in the beauty of the natural world, in contrast with the incessant demands and conflicts of the modern world. In the poem I shared just now, we hear how the beauty of the golden leaves helps him relearn the way to quiet, not his own. The peace he experiences there among the golden leaves in contrast with the division and tumult of his life. Barry wrote this particular Sabbath poem in 1984. So the sources of the division and tumult he was experiencing are not the same as the ones we are living through today in an even more fractured political climate. Amidst this year's pandemic, struggles for racial justice, natural disasters, and economic instability. But he knew division and tumult all the same. Present in his time as they are in ours, and long before. There's an account of division and tumult from the first century church in Philippi in Paul's letter today. And he was experiencing no shortage of these things himself as he wrote. Paul wrote to the church in Philippi from a prison cell, where he was enduring punishment for the trouble he had been stirring up, spreading the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. He has faced and caused his share of division in the work that he has done, and it is from this experience that he writes to the Philippians. He speaks of two specific women, Euodia and Syntyche. He encourages them to work past the unnamed conflict between them and asks the wider church to support them in this work. We're not told what is at the root of their conflict, but we do know that it stands to threaten the well-being of the church, the way conflicts and divisions tend to do. Paul instructs the members of the church in Philippi to be of the same mind in the Lord. And his instructions for what this looks like are more than a little surprising, perhaps now more than ever. He tells them in the midst of their divisions that they are to rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats it for good measure. Again, I say, rejoice. And he tells them the thing that most people in the center of division and tumult want to hear: stop worrying. Because telling people to stop worrying is typically so effective at getting them to stop worrying. But he gives them advice on how to pray. This is a well-beloved passage from Philippians, often taken as an isolated teaching about praying when things are hard. The thing is, though, it's not an isolated teaching. It's written directly in response to the conflicts that are simmering at the church in Philippi. So when we are anxious in the midst of division and tumult, or for shorthand, we could just say in the year 2020, when we experience this all too familiar anxiety, we are to let go and with thanksgiving make our requests known to God. Now, this may seem backward to some of us who are used to filing requests to God and only saying thank you if God seems to comply, but Paul insists that we begin with gratitude, that with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. We start by giving thanks, beginning in a place of gratitude that actively seeks out beauty and goodness in others and in the world around us is the stance from which we are to offer our prayer. And when we do this, we have opened ourselves to a peace that passes all understanding. This is why I've had Wendell Berry on my mind all week. His Sabbath poems follow this pattern of recognizing beauty, reaching for a place of gratitude, and in beginning there, achieving deep peace in the face of conflict and tumult swirling around him. Maybe there are some who can achieve this depth of peace on their own, but it sounds to me that that's why Wendell Berry needs his Sabbath walks. Placing himself in the beauty of the natural world, he experiences a gratitude that shakes him from his worry about the world. Transcendent beauty moves us to that place of gratitude. We can't really help it. There's something in our wiring that, whether it's the golden leaves of autumn, the face of a newborn child, or exquisite music that takes our breath away, we feel a depth of gratitude and our inner landscape shifts. This is why beauty is a part of our worship, too. The flowers, the linens, the transcendent beauty of music on organ and piano, the artistry of stained glass, beauty has an important place in our life of worship together because it leads us to the place of gratitude from which our prayers are made. And when we turn to God in prayer from this place, we open ourselves to the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We experience peace within because we are reminded of that which God is capable, and we grow in our capacity to trust that God can handle all that is giving us anxiety here and now. Turning to God with deep gratitude also helps us to make peace in the world around us. As we look at those with whom we have conflict no longer as adversaries, but as someone for whom we could be grateful. And in doing so, we bring a little more peace into the world. When we teach others this skill and help them access beauty in some form or another, whatever that means to them, we open up the possibility of gratitude and peace that spreads outward, the possibility of significant and lasting change. It's not easy work, but it is essential, especially in times such as these when the cares of the world are so heavy and so near. It is not a denial of all that is wrong, nor an excuse not to do anything to change it. It's not all we are called to do. Rather, it's a starting point. One that keeps us in prayer, keeps us from getting overwhelmed and shutting down when the needs are so great. Nathan and Eddie writes that joy is not an escape from the pain of life. It is a reconsideration and a reinvestment in life from a different, liberating perspective. Living with gratitude helps us to recognize opportunities for small acts of faithfulness, which we can take because we believe that God is working and that there is enough. This is the fundamental orientation behind our Love in Action campaign this year, that when we see the world with gratitude, rather than shortage or scarcity, we respond with generosity and love, knowing that God can do big things with each small act of faithfulness, repeated over and over. My favorite illustration of this is a story that writer Sarah Bessie tells in one of her early books about a man who believed that his town needed a school to educate the children. But there were no supplies nearby and no one to help build this school. But instead of deeming the task impossible because of a lack of supplies, he noticed a nearby hill. And with gratitude for that hill, he took stone by stone, he took that hill apart and carried the stones one at a time to build a school. Bessie writes, "Thanks be to God who moves mountains, and thanks be to God for men and women who pick up stones one after another and another and another until the mountain moves." Beginning with gratitude helps us to notice what is there rather than what's not, to offer whatever it is we have for God to use in ways we might never expect. We live out our faith. We put love in action through everyday works of gentleness, generosity, and prayerful living that, when offered to God, transform from something ordinary to something extraordinary. What is it that helps you reclaim gratitude when worry and stress take over? Take the time this week to look and listen for those beautiful places, circumstances, things, and people in your life that bring you to gratitude, and make your prayer in that space. And then carry on, putting love in action in all that you do. Amen.